This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. As I swallow my peanut butter cracker, it's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you listen to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap again. I didn't even have to change it. The Shane Van Gensbergen 200. And hear from the guy that dominated Sunday in wine country at Sonoma. News in the world of NASCAR. I really need to figure out somebody who knows this legal jargon. But there's a lot of it. The old NASCAR 2311 deal is getting a little juicy. We head to Dover this weekend. Finally, as Denny Hamlin said on his podcast, we go in circles. We'll get you ready for that. Cup standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings, and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio, right, all things Alabama Media Days. The man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, and keeping us on the air. That's the super producer, Scott Webb. Not wearing anything from Michigan today.
Nope.
Waiting on college football to start, I guess.
I am eagerly awaiting just football in general. Give me something.
He's wearing his Spartan colors
today. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus. I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth there.
Do we have that fight song? In
we don't have that one.
I know. I was going to say it could be Celtics, but, you know.
No, that's almost as bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I know Scott's a big fan of, you know, Michigan. So I think Michigan State Sparty.
My Lions.
I can't believe he has a great shirt.
But next Saturday in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. Okay. Little Chargers Lions couple weeks.
I never did tell you the story. We went down to the Citrus Bowl back in 2010, and Michigan
State. The waxing.
We whipped them 49-7, and you should have seen this dude down there just decked out and all painted up green. And I was like, I feel bad for that poor dude.
I don't feel not at all.
How do you get? I mean,
booger eaters didn't used to call that. Wasn't it the Auburn fans?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're still
how,
are.
How
yeah.
do you? How long does it take? How long does it take one to paint oneself?
I don't know, but he was decked out in it. You could see it was so hot down there. It was cracking, you know, the paint and everything. And I'm like, that dude's got to drive home.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
At this point, he's probably inebriated.
He didn't care.
And he was wearing this big hat.
Which makes you sweat.
Big Sparty hat. I'm sitting there thinking, thank God I wasn't behind that dude. Anyways.
That's crazy. Sorry I'm late, boys. I'm 15,
you're all good, man.
15 minutes late. So, some drivers this week had motor issues and
some bought new cars
contributing to the economy, or maybe they should have pitted for tires. They should have went to Premier Tire and Auto. It was just over there today. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars. You don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off Northley Highway. Give them a call 479-3365 and get back on the road today. Heater Dud Meter. I didn't know where to fall on this. I gave it a little credence because it was Sonoma, and I like Sonoma. The domination side, didn't care too much for. So I went with the 3.5, probably could have went with the 3, but that's kind of how I come up with my number.
I'm going to, you know, it was neither great, neither terrible. I'm going a 2.5, right in the middle.
Probably should have been there.
No, it was fine. Just, there wasn't anything exciting about it. Nothing too terribly terrible about it.
Yeah. Well, who won? Meh. We thought he was going to win. You know,
no, I thought the guy that is the hottest driver in the sport three of the last 5 weeks, Mr. Shane Van Gisbergen.
Or Shane Van Gisbergen.
Shane Berg. Now I'm all time tired.
It's just SVG. What happens when you start talking about
SVG. That's he's three of the last five.
So
he's
so
hot, baby.
I was listening to the, I mowed the grass yesterday because we're heading on vacation. So I was like, I listen to the Denny Hamlin deal. I try not to listen to any podcast until after our show so that I'm not persuaded either way.
Yeah. You want to give your own hot takes.
I want to do that. And then I want to go back and listen and see if where we were. So there's talk of like, how do you beat him on a road course? And that's what Denny talked about a lot is like, you know, you have to almost try to take it, like even this weekend, I mean, some people took a chance with different strategies, but he still beat him. And so it's when you have a car that can do what he wants to do with it. Cause Denny was like, well, my car was trash. He said, but if you put Van Gensbergen in my car, he might've been able to do something different. He's that good. So I don't remember. Maybe we say Elliott. I mean, but Elliott was still beatable.
I think we have the name.
Gensbergen doesn't beat himself. He does good there. So I guess that's my question. Like, what's it going to take for somebody to be able to? Yeah, well, I'm trying to come up with one. Is he beatable at a road course? If all things are the same and his car is running good, can anybody catch him? Or what do people have to do to get to that point?
They've got
to
get better at road course driving.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. You know, we were talking off air before, and you know, you have some in past history, some drivers that were really good road course racers, along with guys that ran great on mile and a half, guys that ran great on super speedways. Yeah. And the one name that comes to my mind is Jeff Gordon. I think he's just probably the best all around race car driver that I have seen.
You are proving my point from last week.
That you can go do all of those things, but he wasn't a one trick pony.
Yeah.
And even if SVG is a one-trick pony, then everybody else has to step up their game as well. You know, you go to, like, just throw baseball out there. You know, you've got some long ball hitters. When you got some parks that are shorter walls.
Right.
You know, what about the air in Colorado? I mean, just you've just got to be better than him.
So it pushes everybody else to get better.
Yeah.
That could be a benefit that I could go with.
That's a net positive.
SVG. Yeah. All yeah. Right. What you got?
No, I think that, you know, he's the standard. I mean, obviously, he has knowledge and understanding of this type of racing that these guys don't. But on the flip side of that, he has to play catch up on oval racing because he's not been exposed to it and not been involved in it as long as some of these guys have been doing it all their life. So I think that he is setting a standard on road course, but he could, if he continues to grow on oval racing, then we got to start putting him in the mix to be a championship type driver, because he definitely is going to dominate. Even if he doesn't win, if something mechanical doesn't happen or he doesn't get turned, he's going to be in the mix at all these road courses. And we have so many on the schedule now that has to make him a threat to be a championship type driver, but he is going to have to continue to prove at oval racing if he is going to get to that level where he can compete for a championship.
And you think about it. I don't know how many we can do. I don't know how many we can come up with. But you think about it. How many drivers can you say in their first year won three races? First full year. Full-time racing. Not very many.
So I'll throw out some stats. He's tied for most wins this year with Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Larson. Could very well go win at Watkins Glen here in a few weeks. And he's got 17 playoff points, that is third to Kyle Larson, which where's Kyle Larson been? And Denny Hamlin with 19. So he's automatically, when the seeding starts, as far as he's way up the list as far as points go, which, I mean, all this guy really has to have is a probably semi-consistent, decent first three races of the playoffs, and then you go, when's the road course in the playoffs?
I think it's in the second round.
Yeah, second round, you win that road course at Charlotte, and then you're rolling. I mean, all you got to do then is just stay in that top four, you know, in the third round to get there. So he's got a chance.
But I think you could say that about anybody. We've seen guys throughout this style of
But there's not one race. Guy, though, Scott, that is – I can't – name me a guy that when I say Atlanta or Charlotte or any mile and a half where you're like, that's that guy. This guy is different because you say road course. Now it's Shane Van Gensbergen. You have to pick him.
Yeah.
He should dominate.
No, but I think he has a skill set that gives him an opportunity to win at all these races. And because there are so many on the schedule. Now, let's look back in the day when there was two road course races. Now, the playoff format would allow him to get into the playoffs, but how much damage could he do if he only had X amount of playoff points and there's only one. Then back then there was no oval, there was no road courses in the playoffs.
Right.
This format allows him to A, get more points because there's more opportunities to have those types of tracks where he's going to go out and be successful. And B, you have a road course in the playoffs that allows him to go out there and maybe get a win at that. So I think this whole dynamic of can he continue to be successful? Yes. Can he make a deep run in the playoffs? Yes, because he's going to have a ton of playoff points and he's going to have an opportunity to win at least one race. And then you throw some super speedways and some other stuff in there. Who knows? So I think he is he a real contender? I think is the real question. Is he going to be somebody that is going to be hard to knock out of the playoffs? I think the answer to that is yes.
And you know, you're not racing against 38 other guys, basically, no. in the playoffs.
Right.
You're up against 15 other guys.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is you go out there and you protect things. You got playoff points that are
and you only
push
have
through.
To race them in three race segments.
Yes. I mean,
and if you get a win, you don't have to race them at all.
Right.
I mean, in that particular segment. I guess the thing would be, so if I said, and I know we talked about this last week, if I said Shane Van Gensbergen is your 2025 NASCAR champion, first thought comes to your head?
I'm all for it, man. I'm serious. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because this is the playoff format that everybody agreed on. When you are in the Cup Series or Xfinity or whatever, you agree to that playoff format. I mean, it's fair game.
I think it would be, well, first of all, it would be surprising because yeah. there is only one road course. He's going to have to get better at oval racing because those playoff points, there's other people that have playoff points too. So at some point, we always see it catch up to somebody. They have one bad section and they don't have a way to point their way in. Early on, it helps. But as we start to narrow that field and there's only eight guys racing, that starts to be a lot harder to advance if you're not on your A game and making points week in and week out.
Right.
So it would be surprising if it won, but I don't think it would be any less of a champion because these are the rules. This is the format. And if he goes out and has success and they hand him the big trophy at the end of the year in Phoenix, he would be, he would be a deserving champion.
So you sit and think about it. And I'm going back years ago, with Ryan Newman pointing his way in, what is better for you? I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking.
No.
What's better, going out here and winning three road courses, or pointing your way in and all you do is finish second or something in Phoenix, where Newman was at Homestead, of
right.
course. But you know, like a Buescher, he don't have any victory. He doesn't have any victories on the year. So what if he gets in there and points his way through the playoffs?
And then has one good
and then has
race.
One good race.
But I guess that's where I'm at. Like, if I have somebody that is consistent, like a Buescher, like a Newman, like a Kenseth used to be, that means they're running good at all different tracks, right? Whether that's they've got to go to the road course, they've got to go to the oval, they got to go to the short track, they've got to go to the super speedway. They're running well enough at those races.
You got to remember back then
to
too, we were only running two road courses.
Sure, but you also got to remember too that was in the chase that Ryan Newman did that. So I mean, it wasn't like it was the old Winston Cup where it was you could have the thing wrapped up by four races to go. But I think that's the thing for me is that, yeah, sure, by the rules, he's going to be the champion. Doesn't mean that I have to – I don't feel like he would be a true champion. And I know we argued about this, and this is one man's opinion. But it's like I feel like that by the rules, he's the champion. So that's – I mean, I just doesn't mean I have to like it, I guess. But – and it's not anything against him. I think he's a heck of a talent.
Don't you think he's going to have to run ovals well to become the champion? I don't think there's like he's got some playoff points, but he's not the
top. Probably through the first round.
But I would say he's probably going to get through the first round.
But then there's a lot of pressure for him to win at Charlotte.
And then he's going to have a pressure to win at Charlotte. But those last two rounds, there's four or five races after the Roval that he's still going to have to go out there and beat seven other guys to get into that next round. That's still a tall task.
I think he has to perform well at other style of tracks because we've watched this sport long enough to know that anything can happen out there on these tracks. You look at engines, look at rear ends. I mean, you look at,
he has
everything.
He has three terrible races to start the playoffs, the playoff points may not even be enough to get him into the second stage of the playoffs. So I think he's going to have to improve if he's going to be a real threat to win a championship. He's going to have to get better at the ovals. But I think that there is an opportunity for him to make a deep run and make a lot of noise in the playoffs that maybe we weren't expecting 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
All right, William Byron bounces back with finally a top 10. Good for Byron to get going. It seems like he's had a string of bad luck, I guess, over the last 3 or 4 races. You just look at him as a playoff or championship contender, has to get there at some point. When does the championship chances, so to speak, I mean, I know he's young, but when does that run out? When does it get to a point to where it's like you either put up or shut up?
To me, he's on a very similar trajectory to what Larson was a few years ago, where there was not enough consistency. So I still think he's early enough. I don't want to call him young anymore because he's been around for a long time, but I still think he's early enough in his development that the one thing he's lacking is consistency.
Right.
He's had too many ebbs and flows, and we've seen some of that kind of recently where he's had. But I don't if the gaps in the amount, so everybody can go out and run 35th because we blew an engine or we got hit, we broke a tie rod, whatever. It's having that instead of it being 6 weeks of poor finishes, maybe it's just 2 or 3 weeks, or we rebound and have a top 10, and maybe that is all we do in that 6 weeks. That may be the best we have in that 6 week stretch, but we're not having 35th finishes, or we're not running 28th or doing that. I think if he can find a little more consistency, I think he's absolutely a threat to win it this year. I think he's shown that he can have a lot of success on a variety of tracks.
Right.
So to me, that's the key. If they can find a way to minimize those stretches, that's something they haven't been able to do in the past. That would be the real difference in them having a real legitimate shot to win a championship.
Kind of a weird way he got there through iRacing is how he found it out and kind of worked his way up through there. So would definitely be different. Michael McDowell finally finishes a race, gets a top 10. Kyle Busch well needed a top 10 from a really non-road course racer, Jason. But it is one of those things where the way Kyle's been running over the past 2 years, I mean, any kind of – I wouldn't have said 10 years ago that we would have been saying,
great job,
Kyle Busch, or Kyle Busch needed a top 10.
You also got to look at the organization he's running
with. Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not as good as the TRD guys up at JGR. It's a positive for him.
Yeah.
And he has ran one Watkins Glen before. I know that. But, yeah, it's a good shot in the arm for him, some momentum the latter part of the season here to make a playoff push.
You see that I always look at that. The three car, I don't know where the three car is in the points or whatever, but in comparison to Kyle, same stuff. It just shows you a good race car driver.
He's 28th.
In comparison to a non-race car driver. So, all right, Ty Dillon wins again in the midseason challenge. He's moving on up. He actually moved Bowman out of the way. Then he said that he got to watch that. He said he had a front row seat.
And he came out and said that if he's not in the end season tournament, he's not doing that late in the race. But dude, when seven figures is on the line,
you do it. Especially when you're not making that.
When you had no illusion that you were going to be in this situation 2 weeks ago, and you have an opportunity to move one guy that's right in front of you to advance and give yourself a 25% chance of winning $1 million.
Because he got Riddick coming
week. I'm moving him.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. No, I didn't even think about it. I wouldn't even think
And
twice
Bowman
about
said
it.
Nothing about it. I mean, Bowman appreciated the fact that he didn't move him enough to where he was going to lose multiple positions. So
right.
Kyle Larson finishes 30. Well, I need to stop that. The shock finisher of the week.
Oh, you're killing me.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Two generations at Caldwell Paving and Grading of Ownership. Give them a call for all your asphalt and paving needs, 423-336-3841. Big shout-out to Jonathan Cantrell. He's having a tough go of it. He has tore the patella tendon in both of his knees. So he is
that sounds
if you know JC, he's 6'8", and I don't know, probably weighed 280 pounds in high school, but not anymore. But that's probably hard to get around in doing that, so – speedy recovery from a guy there. All right, I got Kyle Larson finishing 35th.
Yeah, same. just ridiculous.
Yeah. I'll go with Ty Dillon was going to be my pick. That was a bold – not that they blew the doors off of it. I think they finished 17th or 18th. But that was a when you're an underdog in every single round of this in-season tournament and you have an opportunity in the final, you know, few seconds of the race to improve your position and move up, I'll take Ty Dillon.
You better win. If he wins that $1 million, you better do like a quarterback does their offensive line. Do something for you.
I'm sure there'll be a celebration.
There will be. All right, this Victory Lane interview brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Smarts. My neighborhood gas station at Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car. And they have 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road in Cleveland. Stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, we were coming 50th, you know, it felt like, but it wasn't complete end of the world, you know. I felt like I was getting better as a driver, getting closer to my teammates and starting to match what they were doing. And you could just feel that we were better than what we were. It just had to sort of click. And yeah, the last month and a half, 2 months, we've really started getting better, the 88 car, and then also the team as well. We've really started getting better and better. So yeah, it's 4 wins for us now as a team. And it's been an amazing turnaround for everyone. And yeah, I'm not under any illusion we're going to go out next week and win, but I'd like to keep that progression going and keep starting to build towards the midfield and then the top half of it.
Yeah, definitely. Threw me for a loop there. I was like, oh, it's the Australian accent. All right, anything that goes on Facebook or X that looks halfway decent, done by WebEye Digital Marketing, make sure if you want to portray your business as somewhat professional, go to webeye.com. We'll be back with news in the world of NASCAR right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Give Dale a call for any heating and air needs that you have. Call him in locally here, 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call dales.com. Time for news in the world of NASCAR. It's brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. It's my pharmacy. It's your insurance denying those weight loss drugs. Well, Mouse Creek has weight loss compounds that you could pay cash for. They're as low as $154. To find out more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road or give them a call, 790-0443. That's the way Scott ends conversations between Jason and I. He just starts playing the music. I mean, we were having a conversation. Scott's like, oh, we'll just play the music.
Well, I mean, if you can continue on the conversation, you got about 45 seconds there, so.
All right, so let's see.
Keeping us on task.
2311 Racing in Front Row versus NASCAR. Ding, ding, ding. Man, it about got weird for 2311. That's right, in at Dover this week, but they filed an injunction or I don't know what the legal term is. But anyway, NASCAR.
Didn't they file wanted to have put back in place the temporary injunction to keep their charter? I think is what happened.
That sounds right. And so now NASCAR has until 5 o'clock, or let's see, NASCAR doesn't have, this is per Bob Pockers with Fox Sports, NASCAR does not have to respond until 5 p.m. today. So while could get a decision tonight, probably won't get one until Thursday or Friday as far as 2311 FRM charter status for the weekend. No danger of missing the race, as only 37 cars would change how much money they get, though. So this charter thing is getting weird, man. There was a Legacy who is suing Rick Ware Motor or Racing over the purchase of the Rick Ware Racing charters. Has also sued TJ Purchier, who plans to buy both RWR charters. My gosh, for notorious interference of contracts. I'm going to look that up. Purchar was a former Spire co-owner and brokered the Legacy RWR deal. So it sounds like Purchar saw an opportunity and Legacy is suing them to keep them from buying those charters.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the lawyers are making quite a bit of money off NASCAR right now.
They are. And the
that's
other
what
thing
it sounds like to me.
The other thing it sounds to me is we've got, you know, Alex said a couple weeks ago, we got Dodge coming in a couple years. They're going to need charters.
Doesn't NASCAR, they keep four charters. I think they have 40 charters that they could give out.
Yeah.
And I think 36 of them they have distributed, and they've kept four back. So
could be getting
I
three
think
more.
And I think they keep those back.
For Dodge?
I think for just a new manufacturer
to
have those available to them.
It's crazy. I just don't, you know, I think, I don't know. I didn't think this would happen when they first came out with charters, but just like with all new, I wasn't around when the NFL come out with their franchises, and maybe that was always the thing. I'm not sure. Y'all may know. But you know,
what are you saying? Man,
I'm old, like, but I'm not that old.
I mean, I wasn't around with the old NFL days.
I didn't know if it was something that happened in the 80s or whatever, if it was just, you know, part of the deal. But because you had the AFL and the NFL, so I didn't know
when
when it happened. But anyway, I mean, I'm sure there's bugs to work out with all that, and there's legal mumbo jumbo to work out with all that. But my gosh, if you're Denny Hamlin, you're paying $18, $21, $30 million for a charter. I want to know that I got the charter, and then I want to know that I could also make money, and I got guarantees there. There should be that.
Maybe don't sue NASCAR.
That would be a good start.
That's already done. Well, what are you doing though?
I'm not saying that they made the wrong decision. They just made a decision knowing that there was because they didn't sign the agreement, they could very well at some point, because they did get a temporary injunction to keep their charter status up until this week. And then they filed, I don't know if they filed an extension. I don't know how all the legal stuff of that worked out. But they knew going in that this was a potential. Now, they're hoping that, and I've always thought that at some point, this will become a negotiation and we'll see what the end game is. But right now, both sides seem pretty content to hold to their guns.
Sticking to their guns.
To their guns.
I mean, I know Michael Jordan's got a lot of money, how far does it go?
No, but I mean, listen, all you got to do is roll out a new shoe. You can pay for this. There's no problems there
for a while.
But you know, I think at some point this will either become a negotiated settlement or they'll just go to court, and then the court will decide how this is going to play out. And then that will turn the sport on its head.
I love that when we talked about these charters years ago, the whole point of it was to not have teams to go out there and just start and park. How many times we used to see that? No, that is not the point. The point is for NASCAR to make a cheap buck off of everybody. That's the whole point. You pay to play.
And it's almost like, you know, with the new TV deals that goes in, they're making more money on the TV deals because there's guaranteed starts.
Yeah, they're making more money on these TV deals when viewership's down. Right. I don't get it. But anyways, that's just another story for another day.
Yeah, it is. And I think Steve Phelps made the comment that NASCAR does not compete with F1. And I think there's a 20% competition percentage. Wherever he got that 20%, how he equated that to IndyCar. So it's almost like NASCAR's on an island.
I kind of disagree with that a little bit. Yeah. You're following the young kids. Follow F1. They're not following NASCAR. Right. So, yes, you are in competition for viewership at some point.
Right.
But, you know.
But what's that minimum viewership where they're like, it's concerned? Because we've had low viewership. But, I mean, Alex said this a couple weeks ago.
It's low compared to what it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But the ratings, I mean, everything is low.
But there's also
not named the NFL.
There's also, I mean, this could go many different ways, but I mean, in 92, you didn't have a lot of stuff vying for your attention, such as you have now. You had TV, radio, and outside. So you were going to watch what's on TV. So if your parents were watching NASCAR, that was it. Or you had radio that you could listen to, but you didn't have a phone.
You didn't have internet.
You didn't have internet. So you didn't have 16 different apps to watch 16 different, you know, deals or whatever. So I think we're going to struggle because maybe the competition is not with F1 and with Indy. Maybe it's with everything else you have.
That's a good point.
At your disposal that might keep you from watching.
That could be the best point you've ever made.
I think so.
This could be the best point you've ever made on this show.
You don't have
And that
Facebook,
one was thoughtful.
TikTok.
Fantastic.
Instagram and all this other crap.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're just a good bullcrapper, just stuff
like that. I thought it was a great point.
You may have just backed into that, but that was a terrific point. I just wanted to let you know I thought that was excellent.
I don't want to say anything else. It's time to get to your NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you by Bree Mai with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. She sold my dad's home after he passed away. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, please take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Toyota Save Mart 350. Proper name for a race. Three words or less.
Short.
William Byron, 14-point lead over Chase Elliott. Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick, Denny Hamlin are your top five. Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, Chris Buescher, your top 10. Joey Logano, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Ryan Preece, Kyle Busch, and A.J. Allmendinger. For those of you wondering, SVG, 26th in points, but he is a virtual lock deep into the first round of the playoffs. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standing.
I got to get Web App Digital Marketing on this photo I just saw on Facebook of Tarpley and his wife from, like, 1976. Look at that, Jay.
Oh.
I mean, that guy, they don't look like Arnold Tarpley today.
Oh.
We know you post that somewhere.
He needs like a little finish line pocket protector or something coming in.
You could draw one of those in.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could do that. All right. Those NASCAR Cup point standings brought to you by Bree Mai. Give her a call to sell your house today, 1-269-598-6243. We'll be back with the next race. That's Dover right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. We've got a new, going to have a new board member on the Cleveland Aqua Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
A guy sitting right next to me.
I got him in a
moment of he was really hot and had been sitting at the city meet all day.
It was not nearly as hot as last year, my friend.
But I pulled him up there and I was like, "Hey man, we're gonna put you on the board." All right.
Okay.
I didn't even think it's gonna be. I thought it was gonna have to sell a little bit.
I just do it for the people. I mean, no, it's a good cause.
He is a man.
Why had joined the
about the people?
Join the library board. I'm doing my Cleveland.
You're on the library board.
Yeah,
it's my civic duty. I mean, you know,
that is your civic duty. And your daughter's going to be there, so I mean, you want to make it better.
She's going to swim this weekend.
That's right.
Down in Alabama.
All right, it's time to move on to the next race in life. That may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member into their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or call them at 423-763-1000. All right. MRN, our partners at MRN, interviewed a couple of drivers about going to Dover, one being Michael McDowell, who had a great run this week. Ask Michael, how hard of a place is Dover to figure out for drivers?
Yeah, I wish I knew how to figure it out. It's just been one of those racetracks that's been really tough for me. You know, I think Dover is fun because of the commitment and the speed and dropping down into the hole. And I mean, it's just a cool experience. It still takes your breath away. It's still is nerve-wracking when you unload there or when you go to qualify. And so I enjoy the challenge. I just haven't run good there. And last year was the first year where we were putting together like a really solid race. Had a pit road penalty the first stop. We finished top 10 in the stage, I believe. We had a penalty. Then the right front hub broke. And it was the first time I felt like we were in contention, though, to have a top 10, top 5 run.
Ryan Preece was asked, can you describe what it's like to run laps at Dover?
Yeah, Dover is, it's a really fast racetrack. And honestly, when you look at it, it's a mile, right? So you don't think of it as a intermediate. But when it comes to the approach, I approach it like it is an intermediate just from how fast. When you drop into the banking, going into turn one and turn three, there's a lot of character there. You know, you need a lot of stability and a lot of commitment. So it just goes hand in hand. So it's also a track that as rubber lays, it widens out and creates, depending on how sunny it is or whatnot, the potential for a really good race.
All right. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., which is Scott's favorite driver, he was asked, how much do you look forward to going to Dover each year?
Love Dover. One of my favorite racetracks. We run really well there. especially since we've been in this car. I feel like we've run well there, and we got a second place finish in 22, I think it was. I felt like we had a race winning car that day, and so I enjoyed it. I think we run well, and I will say we struggled at Bristol earlier this year, which we generally don't. So, it kind of gives me a little concern going to Bristol, but hopefully we kind of revert back to, kind of our old notes there and try not to, look at anything new, just kind of get back to our baseline.
One thing about Dover is having driven a car at Daytona,
did you drive a car at Daytona?
I did drive a car at Daytona.
You know that.
They nicknamed him Rowdy.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe I should just say this every show we have. Anyway, but at Dover, it's almost like you do just kind of fall down into the corner. And I can imagine, in those cars, when you go into a corner, especially with a high bank, say like Daytona, Dover, stuff like that, the G's push you down. And then when you come out, it's like you're coming out. And on the, my NASCAR Heat 5, which they're coming out with a new one, on the sim at the house.
And you've got the whole racing sim.
On the sim at the house. Right. I mean, when you come out, it automatically kind of slings your car to the side. So there's it's a tough track to race at. And I think they have multiple lines, but it's concrete. And so if we went back to the old school Dover with the asphalt, I think the racing would be better. Pretty good now.
Well, Jimmy Johnson disagrees with you because that dude just dominated that place.
Except for $4 part that got him out of the championship.
Yeah, I mean, he knew that place up and down best I've ever seen there. All I'll say about Dover is they have a cool mascot, Miles, and they have the absolute best seating over the track. That would be great.
Yeah, especially that place over there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's like the bridge that goes across there, and you sit inside and all that stuff. But, no, it's great. You see those cars come off that turn, and then you just dip.
I can tell you this. If it gets rained out for some reason, and I haven't looked, Jason, will go over that
65% chance of rain.
So possibility, but I'm taking the 19 car if we go to Monday because Martin Truex won just about every Dover Monday race, I think I remember, that happened there or whatever. But – you can get in a lot of trouble there, Scott. You can get in a lot of trouble quick. They used to say that if you wreck at Dover, you kind of come down the hill, so you're going to collect cars.
Yeah, and you got to watch, too. It's tricky pit road because you got to come off and you got to brake. So penalties will usually have a pretty strong factor in this race because it's hard getting off that, and it's hard getting it wound down so that you can get to pit road speed. So it's an interesting track. I think I liked it better in the past and better with the past car than with this current version. Mm-hmm. Haven't put on a spectacular show yet, but the track has always got potential. You'd think a high bank track like that would be pretty racy, but it's really about a groove and a half. And if you can't run in that groove and a half, it's going to make it tough for passing. So we'll see how it all plays out this week, but it's a track that has a lot of dynamic action sometimes.
Yeah. So, no, we saw, I want to say it was either last year or the year before. I mean, an absolute huge crash up there. It was the big one.
And it's like, one of the biggest ones of this season.
Like 20-something cars at this thing. I'm like, at Dover? Yeah. I mean, all I know is that pit road, just if you're on a pit crew, just watch out for the 54.
Oh, we didn't talk about it. Let's talk about that real quick.
It's all legal. It's all legal.
And that's what I don't understand because you could – So somebody was out of compliance.
Neither one was out of compliance.
So it was just then
he's allowed to drive through three open pit lanes, and he did.
But he looked like he turned straight down. I mean, knowing Ty Gibbs and his hot head,
I wouldn't put it past him,
but he actually got away with it because it was legal.
He might have just tried to buzz him a little bit,
Cut it a little. Yeah.
There's a fine line.
There's a fine line.
God, if he would have hit him a little harder, that tire would have knocked. That would have been a bad deal.
Yeah, it would have been a bad deal.
Man, I hope he didn't do that on purpose. All right, the schedule for this weekend brought to you by Clarity Property Management. Clarity Property Management is a locally owned property management company. Handles finding tenants, collecting rent, and handles all maintenance issues. You need that. Give them a call, 423-458-2600. Give it to us, Heater.
Yeah, Friday on FS1 at 5, you have the ARCA 150. Saturday, the Xfinity race will be on the CW at 4:30, 30% chance of rain, and 80s. I would give anything for the 80s right now. Sunday on either, you get your choice, TNT, True TV, or Max. You got the Cup race at 2 o'clock, Jamie, 2 o'clock, 65% chance of rain.
Yeah.
In the 80s, though. I mean, heck, I'd
Take that.
I'd gladly take a 65% chance of rain to be in the 80s.
Does it seem like, and we got to go to break, but does it seem like a letdown as far as the broadcast goes with the TNT side?
Just different.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same guys. It just has a different... The
graphics aren't as
different. Yeah, feel to
just,
it.
Just a little bit of a different feel to it. But, you know, the amount of money Amazon threw at it, that was pretty special. Probably be hard to top. I don't know. I can't see NBC being as good as even this TNT coverage. They've struggled.
I'm still holding out hope that we could bring back the old Nashville network.
Yeah, TNN.
Yeah. I mean, that was great.
That was.
Just put it on CMT now.
Give me Dave Despain and Bob Jenkins and Larry Neuber. And I'm in. So who was that where they used to come? Like, I remember seeing one. They had a talk show on TNN. And Bill Elliott brought his car out there. Dale Walter brought his. Any kind of new car they had, they would drive it out there. And I can't remember the guy's name. So maybe we'll get our crack research staff on that. All right, when we get back, it's the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings. Then we'll let you know who we're going to pick for Dover right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome to Finish Line Radio. Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Cool about Dale's eating it.
We even recorded them in the right order today.
Powered by Lance Peanut Butter and Crackers.
Yeah, it's very sticky without something to drink. That peanut butter gets you. All right, it's time for the Rick Cartless Fantasy Standings, and those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. New board member Jason Hildebrand. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team?
Yes.
This is a perfect sponsor for our show because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com. That's your first order of business is getting us a real website. Okay. All right, to the standings.
Yeah, okay. We'll run through Sonoma here real quick. Gonna Rattle Your Cage, number 3, was first.
He's horrible. Welcome back.
Yeah, Brandon Gaines, 2nd. Jamie Kyle, 3rd. Scott Webb, 4th. The Real Lyle, 5th. Arnold Tarpley, 6th.
Probably the
6th.
Highest the Lyle's ever finished.
Yeah. Teddy O, 7th. Loving Left Turns, tied for 7th.
He's back, finally.
And following by RLM Racing, Blake Bull.
Buell.
I don't know.
Bueller?
Yeah.
Sounds like what he is. That's what they're saying during the race is Bueller.
And then
trying to find out if he's there.
And then my terrible team. I was in 11th.
It was 11th.
And Untethered Racing, Kevo Racing, and Bentley Thomas.
Kevo better be glad I'm not going to be where he is Sunday or I'd be wearing him out.
So your overall, Teddy O, RLM Racing, Gonna Ride Your Cage, number 3. Myself horrible. Is 4th. Brandon Gaines.
Garth.
Untethered Racing, Kevo Racing, Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Loving Left Turns, Blake Bull, Scott Webb, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Webb, have you just wrote yourself off?
No.
No, man. I've had 2 strong weeks in a row. We're gearing up for the playoffs. What are you talking about, writing myself off?
Just wondering. I mean,
we're just now getting into our groove.
Okay. We don't have many more races to go, so hopefully you can score some points. All right, let's jump into the starters.
It's all about playoffs. Remember, you claimed yourself champion
last year. You claimed yourself as champion by winning the playoffs.
The first segment and then the first segment of last week, you guys said the rules are XYZ. If he wins the championship, he won it per
just
the rules.
Just because I print off the playoff
I'm the champion.
Standings doesn't mean that you're the champion. That just means you won the playoffs.
I did, which makes me the champion. It makes me the champion.
Makes you the champion of the playoffs.
I sounded freaking like Jim Mora right there. I will say Blake Buell texted me the other day. He's like, I just like to go to the end of the thing because y'all make fun of each other and me. So, Blake, you need to listen to the whole show. We need
it's
all that.
Informative.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going with a 19 car because he seems to do pretty good. I'm going with Kyle Busch because he beat Chase Elliott several years back there, run him down. Carson Hocevar just because he's crazy enough to keep it hammered down. Has no friends on the circuit, he said, on the junior download. Brad Keselowski and Ryan Preece. And then I've got Denny Hamlin get back in the win column there in the garage. I've got Ty Dillon going to win that or get close to winning that $1 million over Nemechek. Chase Elliott over Denny Hamlin, which I need to change, and Kyle Busch over Ross Chastain. I've also got Reddick over Gibbs, the guy that tried to run over Brad Keselowski's crew chief. Hot pick, Chase Elliott. It's from NASCAR betting wise. Denny Hamlin. Avoid Joey Logano. Avoid Bubba Wallace. Jason can tell you that. And the sleeper, Alex Bowman. If you got a gambling problem, stop. Heater.
Yeah, I'm going with some unconventional names this week. Going out there. I'm going with Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott.
What's unconventional about those?
I'm just psyching you out, man. So I'm going Hamlin, Larson, Elliott, William Byron, Joey Logano. In my garage, I've got Alex Bowman. I'm going Nemechek over Dillon, Hamlin over Elliott, Chastain over Bush, Reddick over Gibbs.
A lot of the same names. I've got Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Ross Chastain, and Chase Briscoe. I got Christopher Bell in my garage. I got Dillon over Nemechek. I got Hamlin over Elliott. I got Bush over Chastain. And I have Reddick over Gibbs.
Reddick over Gibbs. All right, so it should be a lot of fun. The boys will be here next week. I won't, so finally taking a little break. I'm going down to where Jason, they know him, where everybody knows his name. So I'm going down there.
You know it's going to be a bazillion degrees down there.
You know, it was hotter when we went Memorial Day than July 4th.
Was it?
Yes.
Well, there's a little tropical stuff going out in the Gulf, so maybe it's pulling all that away. So it'll be good. All right, tune in next week as we'll break down Dover and then get you ready for Indianapolis and the Brickyard 400 after that. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.